Have you ever looked at somebody who seems like they've got everything all together and just thought, wow, how come my life doesn't look like that? Well, social media can be particularly hard for this. We spend time on Facebook and on Instagram, and we see everybody else going on fancy vacations and hanging out with their friends, making fancy crafts with their adorable, smiling children, and we think, man, I must be doing something wrong. In fact, studies have actually shown that spending too much time on social media is correlated to increased rates of depression and anxiety. When everybody else around you looks like they're happy and successful, but you're struggling, comparing yourself to other people can make you feel even more down. And so we end up just pushing ourselves harder and harder, trying to keep up. My next door neighbor has a boat. I need a bigger boat. And soon we end up stuck in a cycle of competition, where instead of trying to support other people, instead of trying to help other people, we're trying to win against them. And so we begin to fear that being vulnerable makes us weak. We pretend like we've got our lives all together and all figured out. And we start feeling like we have to cover up our problems. We act like we're happy and successful, even when we don't really feel that way inside. We take 1,000 pictures and we carefully choose just the right one to post on Facebook. We learn to carefully cultivate and manage the perfect image. And then, when our friends see it, they look at us and they feel like they need to push themselves harder in order to keep up with us. So it becomes a vicious circle. Our culture teaches us that if we're having a hard time, there must be something wrong with us. We must have made some bad decisions. So we need to just push ourselves harder, work harder to try to keep up. Then we'll be successful. But Jesus tells his disciples that even doing everything right, even making all the right decisions, doesn't always lead to success. In fact, quite the opposite is true. In Luke 6, Jesus warns his disciples that the people who look the most successful, the wealthy 1%, the couples who post the smiling photos of their gourmet meals on Instagram, the laughing faces, the people that everybody else sees as having it all together, they might just be missing out on what God's kingdom is really all about. Now, I realize this can be a bit of a hard teaching. After all, who doesn't want to be happy and successful? Isn't that the hope that every parent has for their children? But Jesus challenges us with the message that faithfulness matters more than success. Being a disciple of Christ isn't about being successful. It's not about getting good marks or having a well-paying job and owning a nice house. Faithfulness is about letting go of yourself. It's about making space for God in your life. It's about truly valuing other people. You could say it's about death and resurrection. This morning, we're looking at the lectionary text of Luke 6, 17 to 26. We call this the Sermon on the Plain, but you might be a little more familiar with its parallel passage in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has some very similar things in both Matthew and in Luke, but there are a few important differences. Biblical scholars like to debate about whether both Matthew and Luke drew from the same source material and just adapted it a bit, or whether Jesus might have preached very similar messages, but at different times and places. Either way, though, it's clear that this teaching holds some really important core values that are central to Jesus' message. What I actually find most interesting are the differences between these two passages. In Matthew, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke says, blessed are you who are poor. Matthew says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Luke says, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Matthew says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. But Luke says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. And Matthew says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Luke says, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. Matthew seems to speak about a kind of spiritual, existential sort of a suffering. But in Luke, the suffering that Jesus talks about is much more immediate, much more physical. In Luke, Jesus isn't talking about spiritual poverty. He's talking about not having enough money to pay the bills. And he's not talking about spiritual hunger. He's talking about empty bellies. I noticed in studying this passage that some of the commentaries on it try to minimize or spiritualize away some of the suffering in Luke. Maybe that's because in the comfort of North America, spiritual poverty and spiritual hunger seems easier for more of us to relate to than actually being too poor to buy food. And in Luke, unlike in Matthew, each of these blessings is also paired with a warning. Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, but woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort. Blessed are you who are hungry now, but woe to those who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. But woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Blessed are you when people hate you, but woe to you when people speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. What do you think? Are we the people who are being blessed in this text? Or are we more likely to be the people whom Jesus is warning? It can be an uncomfortable question. I can understand why the commentators and preachers living in the prosperity of white upper middle class North America might prefer to spiritualize it away. But how would this text sound different in a different setting? If you were a single mom in Toronto with a couple of kids at the bottom of a 3-year wait list for subsidized daycare, how would you hear the words, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. If you were an Inuit person shopping for vegetables in the far north of Canada, how would you hear the words, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. But woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Do you think Jesus' message might sound different if you were walking in somebody else's shoes? Personally, I've never had to go hungry because I didn't have enough money to buy food. I think I can maybe say that I've been poor at times, especially by Canadian standards, but I've always had a roof over my head, and I've always had family and friends that I could ask for help. Not everybody has those blessings. Jesus knows that. He knows that you can do all the right things in life, make all the right choices, and still experience suffering and disappointment. In fact, Jesus says that sometimes you'll experience suffering because of your choice to follow him. You might choose to say no to a great business opportunity because of how it's going to damage the environment. Or maybe you'll call out inappropriate behavior in your workplace and lose your job because of it. Jesus knows that sometimes being faithful requires paying a cost. But you know, not every church teaches this. Some churches teach something called the prosperity gospel, the idea that when we're faithful to God, he'll bless us with health and wealth and success and prosperity. But Jesus' teaching in Luke 6 is that sometimes faithfulness and suffering go together. Against the flow of our culture, Jesus blesses those who don't have it all. He blesses those who are going through hard times, those who are living on the margins, those who are struggling to just get by. This week, I watched on YouTube some great sermons by a pastor named Nadia Boltz-Weber. She spent many years as a stand-up comedian who struggled with substance abuse before getting clean and finally going back to seminary and becoming a pastor eventually. She says in her book, Pastrix, awesome name by the way, that she felt God calling her to minister to people like herself, people with tattoos, people who like to curse, people who enjoyed sarcastic wit. Nadia brings these words of Jesus that we're talking about today into some pretty great contemporary language that caused me to stop and really think about the point that Jesus is trying to make here. So I'd like to end this message today by sharing those words with you. She says, "Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are they who doubt, those who aren't sure, those who can still be surprised. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are they who've buried their loved ones, for whom tears could fill an ocean. Blessed are they who've loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those whom no one else notices. The kids who sit alone at middle school lunch tables. The laundry guys at the hospital. The sex workers and the night shift street sweepers. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who will never catch a break, the ones for whom life is hard. For Jesus chose to surround himself with people like them. Blessed are those without documentation. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists. Blessed are those who make terrible business decisions for the sake of people. Blessed are the burned out social workers, the overworked teachers, the pro bono case takers. Blessed are the kind-hearted NFL players and the fundraising trophy wives. And blessed are the kids who step between bullies and the weak. Blessed is everyone who has ever forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful, because they totally get it. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Amen."